Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, it's 8:36 Central African Time. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We have a mayit announcement. Hazrat Maulana Mansur Rahimullah has passed on. He was from Darul Ulum Azadville, and according to the message, he's passed away in Durban. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him generous of those funeral arrangements to be announced. And yes, it's a great and a stark reminder that from Allah we come, and unto Allah shall we return. And according to some messages, he passed away 3:30 this morning in the Hajj prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Joining us is our very own Ahmad Mansur Sheikh Imam, a member of parliament, and Alhamdulillah, the leader of the NFP, also a politician that calls the spade a spade. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell us, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, day in the city of Durban. A lot is happening, particularly with Stage 6. I know we talk about this all the time, but it appears to be no solution in sight, not in the near future. With the president, all he can do is apologize, but not even give us a plan that, you know, we'd be able to come out of this load shedding, which is having a massive impact on small businesses in the country, on homes, on hospitals, and many other facilities. And yes, I think people are fed up, and actually I think you can anticipate or expect some kind of protest action where the entire country will erupt at some stage, because I think there's only so much people can actually take. On the international front, of course, as we know, that China has had 60,000 COVID deaths last month. Can you imagine? 60,000. And these are hospital deaths. Now, that excludes all those people that may have died at home. And 90% of those that have died, brother, are over the age of 65. Now, the United States, of course, appears to be in a crisis when it comes to debt. I'm told they are very close to reaching their debt limit, which is sitting at $31.4 trillion. And one of two things they can do is either increase the limit, which means they're getting more and more into debt. But clearly, I think, you know, this is going to affect stability in the worldwide, because the collapse of the United States simply means, you know, it's going to affect everybody else all over the world. But it clearly indicates that, I mean, the United States in the current position they are in, and yet they can go out there and, you know, want to give assistance to certain countries to promote their agenda of divide and rule. And yet, you know, if you look at the situation they find themselves, they cannot afford to actually do that. The question is, what will they do? Will they just go out there, raise those limits, or are they just going to go out and print willy-nilly as they feel like doing that? So, you know, it's a matter of concern. Very importantly, we've had some horrific deaths that have, and accidents that have taken place in various parts of the country. But a lot of it seems to be through reckless negligence, driving, speeding, overtaking, particularly in blind spots or barrel when, you know, you're not allowed to be in particularly, you know, areas where the visibility is very poor. And yet people take chances. And I think one of the reasons for that, people get fed up or tired of driving behind long distance, these heavy-duty vehicles. And so our roads actually in South Africa are not developed or created to accommodate large volumes of heavy-duty vehicles. So wherever there are single lanes, people get frustrated over a period of time if they have to continuously be following them. Well, Frenny Jinwala has passed on at the age of just over 90, and I think we all know the role that she played in apartheid South Africa, and I think a lot of them must give credit to her and the role that she played, how she was even banned from Tanzania at one stage, but of course, thereafter she was accepted with the new president of Tanzania, and the role that she played in taking some of the others out of the country. She was also the first Speaker of the Democratic South Africa. And she's been very influential in the ANC. We've lost an icon, I would say, a very selfless leader who, perhaps can imagine what she must have gone through in the final stages, knowing what the ANC, what they planned, what their vision was, and what it is, gone through.
Absolutely, Ahmed. And then you look at mayor of Durban, Mayor Imkolo Kaunda. He's warning the lazy municipal workers. He says, you all are absent all the time, not delivering. As we look around in our suburbs, the verges are not done, the roads are filthy, and many other things that they're supposed to do. They do it with a lot of apathy and with a lot of attitude of aggression. So, he says you have to fill in the forms, and we're not going to tolerate this nonsense anymore that you're not delivering, and we will fire you. I mean, the unions will jump in again. He said, no, you can't treat our people like, that they are like school children, they're adults. And then what about those that come to work every Monday morning, succumbing to alcohol, but drunk on the job? What's your response?
Well, there is no doubt about that, but I must tell you, Brother Shepherd, Itekwini's problems are bigger than that. Let me start off by saying a municipality who had a lot of cash reserves, and at one stage had a minimum of 6 months' cash reserves, are now sitting with cash reserves for a maximum of 2 weeks. And that tells you that you can anticipate an imminent collapse of Itekwini Municipal, a total collapse in due course, in the direction they are going. And there is no doubt when it comes to the labor force, particularly in the public sector, levels of compliance is very low. Oversight mechanisms are inadequate. Consequence management almost does not exist. And it's not unusual for you to find that in the public sector, and that's in all levels of the public, whether you talk about the police services, government officials, whether you go to municipal offices, wherever it is, you will find, that lack of commitment and passion. It's not unusual to watch them sipping their coffees and you standing there looking for and wanting assistance, and they will take their own time or what. So it's normal. If you look at the state of the local government, if your roads, the refuse collection and whatever it is, again, and there's not enough oversight mechanisms onto it. If you look at the police services, you would find police officers in groups of five of them, six of them, standing in corners just with their cell phones. And the other thing they've mastered the art of course, is going and giving you fines and tickets. I'll give you a good example. If you take Victoria Street, is the hub, in KZN, in Durban particularly, because of some of the wholesalers, the AH grocers and many others. You do not provide adequate parking, so people have to, whether you like it or not, double park. But no, you would rather not do anything about it, but you will just go out there to go and give them tickets and tickets and tickets, fine, to bring revenue. Rather than changing the spa system of parking so you can accommodate more people. Now, what's the point in providing licenses to all these stores that are there? Okay. But you're not making sure there's enough parking for the people, because the people have to park to go there and buy. No. The idea is you just give them these things, people will come and park there, and you'll give them fines to generate income and revenue. But the very same police officers should be rather going out there and combating or fighting crime and things like that. They're not available, because you'll see them in droves going around with their books, just ticketing and ticketing. So, instead of working on a preventative system of higher compliance and making sure that people are delivering services, you want to work on the system of default, and where people have to pay fines and things, and that's the problem you got. There's nobody really conducting oversight of these people, whether it's the refuse removal, whether it's people that are sweeping the streets, whether there's nobody. There's even this electricity. meter readers and things that are going on, those that are responsible for switching off the electricity is when disconnect them when you don't pay. They're going on to premises and they are collecting 100 and 200 and 500 and they, instead of disconnecting, they are not disconnecting those things. There's so much that is actually going on that the ANC is in an absolute mess in eThekwini, and I, you know, they have a crisis when it comes to governance and the mayor and the deputy mayor at loggerheads. The matters are before court. They are violating court orders. You know, like I said, the cash reserves is so low, which means that an imminent collapse, you can expect it. And corruption is rife in that municipality. So, you know, I think they got a whole lot to look at. And again, I want to say, that's not going to come from the current leadership of the ANC. I think the sooner we realize that, you know, we've made a mistake and correct that, and the better it is going to be for people. I mean, if you, you know, it's a matter of, you know, they expect you to pay for these services, which is what you do. They don't provide you the services, okay? I mean, you know, in simple language, it means that when you pay for something, you must get a service in return. Not in eThekwini and many others. You just pay and pay and pay. You don't pay, they disconnect. They want to sell your properties. They want to do everything other than delivering the services for which you actually pay. So I think the problems are a lot bigger, you know, than. And it's going to get worse, believe me, in shortly. Where we are going to be decriminalizing sex work. So you can imagine what you're going to start expecting on all the street corners and how many more of these bed and breakfast and others are going to turn out to be actually sex havens. And then the crime is going to also shoot up. So, yeah, it's very difficult, you know, when you have a government that has lost direction.
Yeah, my brother says, yeah, besides ticketing us, Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam, they also pick up our cars and our other buggies and take it to the compound. So we have to pay another $1,500 for tow trucks. Hey, that's a good point there. Your good friend Farooq Kasako has asked a question here. He says, should the opposition parties threaten to walk out of the parliament if a decisive decisions are not made by the president on the Eskom crisis? So what's your thoughts on that? Should opposition parties walk out, Ahmed?
Well, the ANC is a majority. That's the first thing. And Jazakallah for that question, brother. I think it's very important. Maybe we need to dissolve parliament. But what happens from now when you dissolve parliament to an election? But more importantly, the ANC has a majority. So they don't really need the opposition. Do you think all the opposition parties will walk out? No, they won't. Some of them are singing the praises of the ANC despite all the challenges we are facing in the country. And it's all about what you get in return. All they're doing is they give you one little position somewhere and you won't be willing to do that. So it's that's the problem. But perhaps maybe we need to dissolve parliament, you know. Maybe that's the direction we need to go because South Africa is going downhill very, very fast, I can tell you. You know, if you read one of the experts says about Eskom as well, and all the state-owned entities, they run it down to the ground so that you can just privatize it. So it seems like there's an agenda as far as all that is concerned. Now, some of them, I know they misquote, in my view, that it was better under former President Jacob Zuma and things. No, it wasn't. It was going downhill already. If you look at the financial performance and things like that, you know, it started a long, long before that. In 2007, I think, the ANC government were warned about load shedding and things. Nothing was done. When the president was part of the, Brother Shepherd, part of the war room at Eskom, under his watch, they removed the maintenance budget completely. You understand? They were warned about what they were doing. So, you know, it's a failure of government. The question is, if you remove, coming back to what Brother Farooq Sirkot says, you remove them at the moment, what happens? Who runs this country? You know, what makes us believe that opposition parties who are also just baying for blood, wanting power and control, will be able to create a better South Africa? Currently, with the system we have, I think the entire electoral system needs revamp, needs a relook, needs amendment. So people just elect the leaders themselves, constituency-based, do away with political party, elect the president of the country themselves. Perhaps this is what we're going to have to do, but I don't believe there's much hope even with opposition parties because they're not willing to come together. Let's look at the coalition government. There's not a single one of them that's working at the moment. And there's not a week that goes by if you know, in media, the fact that there is trouble in the coalition government somewhere. So the coalition governments are not, because everybody wants power and control. They don't want to be led. They all want to lead because they want to be in control of the resources. So it makes it very difficult, but one needs to look at the implications of dissolving parliament. My understanding is if you do, you'll have to call for an election within 90 days, but the ANC is currently a majority. While I believe they will lose their support of 50% in the next election, I still believe that they may continue governing for another term. Based on the fact that they will rely on support from smaller parties, which will give them. It's about what you're going to get back. It's not about what the country and its people are going to get out of it. It's what the parties are going to and how they're going to benefit.
Yeah, Mazari, you noted that the DA, the Democratic Alliance, announced that they would be marching out to the ANC headquarters at Alukudi House in Johannesburg after the national regulator, MERSA approved of the 18.65% tariff hike by ESCOM. So many are saying, yes, there's it for you, Mr. Leader of the DA, John Steenhuisen. Time for you to get more votes to win the public over. And another contribution here says, yes, march against Palestine also, and you will notice how you will win the election. How do you respond to that, Ahmed?
Yeah, they won't march against Palestine and what's happened there, but you'll be able to see that on the 2nd of March when my motion on Palestine is tabled for discussion, deliberation, and to resolve. But very importantly, on the issue of ESCOM, yes, they have. In fact, I've also released media statements calling for South Africans to rise. We need mass protest all over the country, not just only on ESCOM, on various issues. And if you notice what the president has done in some of the interviews, he says, you know, you're expecting me to answer for everything, but that's why I have ministers. It's just the point. You put in ministers that are not able to answer. They're not able to take responsibility and deal with the challenges faced by their department. So it comes back to you if you make the wrong choices, you make the wrong appointments. You know, he was trying to defend, but you could see that it was a president who was visibly frustrated. And he went on to say, you know, whether he does, you know, he's always attacked, you know, whether he does the good or the bad, he's, you know, whatever happens, he's always attacked. But the fact is, he needs to understand that he's the leader and he needs to take responsibility. If he's minister, then I agree with him to some extent. Ministers in their respective departments should be taking responsibility for what is happening. They are not taking responsibility because the question is, are they all fit for purpose? To be honest with you, you know, beside the Minister of Home Affairs, I'm not satisfied if the others are giving us value for money. No, I don't think they are. But that's the choice in the appointment that he makes in any event. So if you make the wrong appointments, then you must pay the price. You can't shy away from that responsibility. So the DA, yes, is opportunistic in terms of this. But, you know, they are also accelerating the process of alternative energy supply. I know a lot of their municipalities are going that route, and they're going to go. The problem is that even though you want to go that route selfishly and out of greed, ESCOM still wants you to contribute to them because they still want to regulate it, even though you want to come off the grid, which I believe you should not be entitled to because you're not providing the service and people are deciding then to move away completely. They don't want your energy because you can't provide it in any case. And now you're telling them even if you come off the grid, you must still pay a fixed charge to ESCOM for what? You know, so these are just some of the problems that we are facing. But listen, the DA and many other parties are talking about, I'm part of that opposition parties group, they are talking about coming together. But Brother Shepherd, my experience tells me in meeting with the opposition parties that they come together, but you can see, yes, one or two of them in those opposition want to dominate. They want to grandstand. They want to lead, and they're not willing to work together with the others. It's about the attention that they will get, and they have an advantage that they have a lot more resources than the smaller parties and things. So they want to dominate, and more often than not, you find that they're the only ones that benefit out of it. So yeah, these are just some of the problems we are facing. But I think important that South Africans cannot be complacent, sit back and do nothing about it. They're going to have to rise on everything that's going on, and even on the issue of the high levels of crime in the country. They need to rise. The poor quality of education, they need to rise. You're going to need a revolution in South Africa. The longer you're going to vote and sit back and do nothing about it, government's going to sit in that comfort zone, you know, relying on the fact that they're getting your support with that food parcels and things that they give you and T-shirts. And they're going to take it for granted. And the longer it takes us to do that, the more destructive it's going to be. And there's going to come a stage when we get to a situation, it'll be so difficult to come out of it.
Yeah, Mazda, we got about 2 minutes to go before we end of the program. And perhaps your parting words this morning.
Well, you know, again, I want to reiterate the need for ordinary, for South Africans from all walks of life, whether you have or you don't have, whether you are in a position of strength or a position of weakness, it affects all of you. For those of you that may not be affected now, in the few years to come, you will be affected, or the future, your children or grandchildren will suffer the consequences if we don't stand up today and bring this country onto the right path. And so I want to urge you all to come together in whatever way we can protest against what's happening in the country, perhaps call for a change in the electoral system, you know, so that we can elect leaders that can go out there. South Africa's got so much of capacity and integrity and financial resources. We have so much of it. But when it comes to the capacity and the integrity and things, those people that have it are not part of politics. And it's time that they became part of the solution rather than sitting back and expecting those that are in control in their comfort zone from making a difference. So that's my plea to our brothers and sisters. You cannot any longer sit back and allow this country to go downhill at the rate that it is going.
You have a beautiful morning ahead. By the way, did you dip into the Indian Ocean, or is the E. coli rivers still swimming there instead of people, Ahmed?
But that E. coli doesn't seem to affect our people. I'm looking right now. Well, yesterday I know it was packed to capacity, and even this morning, lots of people there in the water, and you can see for a long distance how much of the into the ocean. You can see the quality of the water, but particularly very close to the shore, you can see the color itself will tell you where we are. And if you saw a report by somebody the other day, just here by Amgeni River near the bridge. And he was there, and he says you could feel the sewage, you know, the feces. You can just see it all over, going into the ocean. You could see it, and but it's not a deterrent at this stage. People are still going out there and swimming. I don't know, you know. But
hey, Ahmed, in other words, you're telling me swallowing feces, hook, line, and sinker, Ahmed?
By the looks of it, yeah. But people, I'm actually surprised that, you know, that there's not much even being done by the authorities to try and prevent people from knowing the same. I mean, the video that went off viral a day ago was very frightening if you saw exactly what I saw, you know, in terms of the feces and things of that nature. But it's not a deterrent, but I must tell you that Durban particularly lost a lot of revenue as a result of tourism, tourists not coming here. Many of them went to Cape Town. Cape Town has a similar problem, not as bad, okay, but had a similar problem with sewage flow into the sea. But Durban is out of bounds to our people. really out of bounds, and it has affected tourism. So in other words, economic growth, particularly in this area, will be affected. And the mayor goes on to say, no, we did have, yes, it was affected, but people did come. You see, you know, if you're in denial, Brother Shepherd, this is the answers and responses you're going to get from leaders. And that's why you can't go any further. You will hear in the next week, there'll be more and more problems in the city of Durban. This matter, I think, is going to court on the fight between the mayor and the deputy mayor and what's going on there. So, yeah, Durban is in a mess. There's no doubt about it.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. You have, as I said, a mashallah day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.